Welcome to another session of All Stars of Turf, presented by Foley and Air2G2. Our honoree today is David Webner, career superintendent, Penn State guy, and in the process of retiring after a 25-year stint at Westwood Country Club on the west side of Cleveland. Welcome, David, and congratulations on a great career.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you for having me.
So we usually start with a little insight into your early years, how you got into the business, your educational, mentioned the Penn State thing, but give us a little bit about your early years, motivations, and your career progression.
Well, I was managing a hardware in the town I grew up in, and the golf course I played at needed somebody at night water, and I said, I could do that a little bit.
The night waterman.
Well, and all you watered was greens, and it was drive the pickup truck, drop off a hose, drag the little sprinkler, put it in the middle of the green, go to the next one.
Yeah.
So that's how I started, and I also carried a shotgun to shoot skunks at night, so I'm sure I smelled really good by morning time.
Was that for entertainment, or was there a?
No, they didn't treat for grubs or anything like that. So it was to eliminate the animals tearing things up.
Sure.
I thought it was entertainment. I'm getting paid to shoot a gun and stuff. As time went on, I enjoyed the golf course and I started working there more and more. And I quit my job managing a hardware, which my father, I didn't know this till years later. He thought that was the biggest mistake I ever made until years later. Then he said it turned out all right. So I worked there for a while and decided if I was going to pursue this, I needed to go to school. So had a few people write letters for me to go to Penn State, including Bill Lyons. That, there's an old name from the past in turf. He wrote a nice letter to Joe Deutsch about me. Initially didn't get in, and about a week before school started, they called and said, we have an opening. So I went to Penn State, a two-year program, did my internship at Shaker Heights Country Club in Shaker Heights, Ohio, on the east side of Cleveland. Finished up school, went back to Shaker for a little bit. An opening came as an assistant, second assistant at Canterbury Golf Club, working for Bill Burdick, who at that time, Bill Burdick was the superintendent of Canterbury and Shaker. He was one of the first people doing two different golf courses. So I was a second assistant and Terry Bonar was the first assistant. So I was there about 5 years and I got my first superintendent's job in Muncie, Indiana at Delaware Country Club. I was there a couple of years. Opportunity came up to come back to the Cleveland area and I went to Lake Forest Country Club in Hudson. I was there for 13 years. And somebody called and asked if I was interested in Westwood. I said, well, I'm not looking, but I'll listen. So I listened to them and they offered me a job and I thought about it. And so I started in April of 2000 at Westwood and I'll be just shy of 25 years here real soon.
Outstanding. Now, one reason why, actually, I've had you on my list for a long time for this, but there's been somebody sticking a fork in my side for quite a while now, and that's Kevin Ross, who was in your class at Penn State.
Yeah.
I think he said there were 33 guys in your class. How many do you think are still in the business? I bet not too many.
I think there were 33 also. There can't be very many. I know Ken Flissick in Pennsylvania retired a year or so ago. He was in our class. I know Dave Louded out, and I think he's in Illinois. He's with Anderson's. I talked to him at a conference a couple of years ago. He was getting close to the end, but I don't think there's too many left. That might be one of the last ones of that class. It was a pretty good class and a lot of people in it that moved on and did some good things.
Sure. So that was back in the days, thinking about the faculty at Penn State, and, there's obviously been a progression of notables. from, you mentioned Joe Dewitch, Dr. Waddington, Dave Shetler was there at the time, Tom Watchke. Any of those guys particularly influence you, or you got any little anecdotes you could tell us about any of them?
Well, Dewitch, I was kind of afraid of. I thought he was just kind of scary to me. Here's a guy that knows everybody and knows everything in the turf business, and everybody knows him. He kind of intimidated me. His classes were interesting. I don't know that he ever had a syllabus. I think it was whatever he felt like talking about that day. That's what he talked about. Remember one of his classes, we walked in and he's just writing all these dates with chemicals and rates and stuff. And when he got all done, it was what they had sprayed at Augusta when they changed to bent grass greens. They were spraying greens like every other day to get this bent grass going. The first day of class with him, though, he threw chalk to about four people. I think Kevin Ross was one of them. And he said, come up to the board and draw me a grass plant. Most guys just drew a line and stick, 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 stick. Somebody must have been tipped off because they drew a pretty nice grass plant. And he said, hell, 75% of you don't even know what grass looks like, and you want to do this for a living? So probably Watchke was... He was an amazing teacher. He'd get you thinking about something one way, and you're just all sure that that's the right answer. And he'd say, yeah, but you're cutting the grass short. Isn't that shortening the roots? And all of a sudden your brain went the other way, and he just really made you think. And he was pretty special guy. It was too bad when he died a few years ago. Also had Waddington. I think he was very sharp guy. A pretty dry guy. I think that just comes with soils. And Shetler was fairly young at that time. He was doing the entomology, and I've known him since then, but I know him better from his time at Ohio State, since I'm in Ohio and sure. Going to OTF in Columbus all the time. So pretty good who's who was teaching the program at that time.
No doubt. So you mentioned that you were, when you got the second assistant job at Canterbury, Terry Bonar was the first assistant and then ultimately became superintendent. You moved up. You and Terry became very close friends. Terry passed away, I don't know whether it was earlier this year or late last year, but within the last 12 months. Long-term TurfNet guy, great big bear of a guy, probably the quietest, gentlest superintendent I can think of. But in any case, tell us a little bit about your friendship with Terry.
I got on the wrong side of that teddy bear a couple of times.
Did you?
He wasn't so quiet.
Well, he was with me.
Yeah, no, you know, he and I, we were, I mean, we worked together, but we became buddies. And, you know, after I left there, he and I had talked a couple times a week, and we'd talk about sports and the different Cleveland teams and stuff, but it always came back to turf. He taught me a lot of stuff when I was at Canterbury. Probably the biggest thing he pushed was I should know where everybody is and if they're in the right place. If that guy should be on his third green mowing, you know, and he's not there, where is he and what's wrong? And you also needed to know when that guy finished, what was his next job? You needed to be ready. So it was figuring out how to manage people and keep track of them. And that stuck with me forever. I mean, I drive across the golf course and instantly you pretty much know, okay, that guy shouldn't be there. He should be three holes up from here. What, something's wrong. And, you know, that was probably the biggest thing I learned from him. And he was also, you know, Canterbury's top 100 club, and he wanted it to stay there, wanted it to move up. So he always worked on the education things and picking people's brains of what they were doing. He didn't want to get left behind. He wanted to be at the forefront of whatever was going on. And I thought that was pretty good. And I've tried to do that too. You know, you don't want to fall behind the world.
There's a lot of exciting stuff going on in turf management today. Certainly I mean, the pace of innovation is almost daunting. From precision turf management, fertility wise, irrigation wise, to to GPS, to robotics. Does any of that really light you up to the point where if you were entering the business today, would you want to sink your teeth into any of that more than anything else?
Well, I think they're all tools. I mean, we have a GS3 ball and we're doing green speed and the wobble and the smoothness, trueness, all that. We do collect clippings. So far, I wouldn't say I'm blown away by what it tells me. It's still kind of the same thing. If it's hot and rainy, stuff's moving faster, but
I was going to ask you whether you figured out yet how to use that data to modify your programs or whatever accordingly.
I don't think a lot. I mean, we probably watch the speed more than anything because we have a parameter they want to stay between 10.5 and 11.5 because of the slopes on our green. So we watch that pretty closely. And, there's a couple of greens we might not roll because that green's faster than the other greens. Clipping wise, every once in a while, you'll see something. And I think that's more of a, okay, that mower's out of whack because that guy got half the grass that he got off that green yesterday. So I think it shows you some of that. And we do tissue testing, and that's a snapshot of where you are that day. So we do a lot of that stuff. I'm interested in the autonomous mowers. I think that's going to be huge in a few years because it's so hard to come up with labor. So I see that being a big benefit. Setting fairway mowers out there at 3 in the morning and everything's mowed before anybody even gets there. Some of that I can see being a huge plus down the road.
As you're winding up your career, what are you happiest to be leaving behind or walking away from?
A couple members have asked me. I said, there's a few things I want. I said, I want the first number in my alarm clock not to have a 4 in it anymore. I'd like to take a summer vacation. I haven't taken one of those in probably 42 years, other than a day or two here or there. And I'd like to know what a summer 4-day holiday weekend is. From a golf course standpoint, probably the biggest thing is the labor aspect. Whether it's teaching new guys, continually teaching new guys, whether it's, this year we had some of the nicest guys for crew, and I've got some great people on my crew that have been there 15, 20 years, several of them, and that's invaluable. But I also have new guys every year, summer guys, and I never had people asking for mental health days off. I never. One of my best ones this year, guy didn't show up, texted him and said, "Where the heck are you?" "Well, I forgot to put my clothes in the dryer. I washed them last night. My clothes are wet." It's like, you only have one set of clothes, So, and my routine this year became turn off the alarm, pick up my phone, and see who's not coming in today. And so that challenge I will not miss at all. That's probably the hardest thing anymore. Even though I got some great people, and those great people make it a whole lot easier. It's hard for all of us to get everything done, but having a handful of great people sure helps.
Yeah. You touched on it a little bit, but what's your take on this work-life balance, conversation?
I think it's an awesome idea that I'm not very good at. I'm kind of old school. I never thought I was the sharpest tack in the box, so I always thought I had to work harder and pay more attention to the golf course. I'm definitely a hands-on superintendent. I'm there most every day, 12, 13, 14 hours during the summer, definitely shorter hours in the winter. But I'm not very good at the life balance. I think I did well to go to all my kids' special events and stuff as they were growing up. But my wife and my kids went on a lot of summer vacations with the rest of my family that I did not go to. So I'm not good at life balance. For the people who can do it, great. I think it should be more balanced than I have done it. Just old dog, just I'm not going to change now, and I don't have much longer to worry about it.
What do you how big of a deal do you think? I mean, is this something the industry needs to really be adjusting or working toward, to help resolve this labor shortage and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and I think people are trying. I just don't know where to go with it. Part of it is salary ranges for the lower people on your staff. They can go work at a landscape company for $5 an hour more, and some of them are getting paid under the table. So I think some of it's that. It's hard to find people that want to do physical work, pushing mowers, digging holes.
Yeah.
Spreading sand, whatever it is. So I think it's a challenge. I see things people are trying to do in the industry with colleges and different things, and I think it's a great effort. I just think it's going to be difficult to do.
You have any advice for aspiring superintendents who are just jumping onto the ladder and pedaling upwards?
A couple things, and you and I talked about it a little bit. I think every aspiring superintendent should work at a mom and pop golf course somewhere along the line. I started a little 18-hole golf course where I grew up. They didn't have watered fairways, really hardly ever watered tees. I can remember fixing irrigation leaks and you wrapping a pipe with rubber and hose clamps, to clamp it. And I think people should work at a place like that because they can see how to do things without any money. The more money you have, the easier it is to be able to do all the things you want to do. And it doesn't matter how big your budget is, you always see things that you wish you could do. But having that experience at a small club with no money, small golf course, you learn everything. I mean, you start out and they're sticking you on every mower because they only have five or six people. So you learn everything, but you learn how to do it without much. And the other thing I'd probably say, and this came from Terry Bonar, who we were talking about earlier, he told me early on, he said, always tell the truth. And if you screw up, go tell the powers that be what you did, what you're going to do to fix it, and be upfront with them. He said, you have your integrity, and that's all you have. And if you get caught in a fib or stretching the truth or something, those people will never believe you ever again. So just be upfront. If you screw up, say so and own up to it and be done with it. And that stuck with me. It stuck with me forever. I had
Yeah.
a green chairman. This was probably about 5 years ago. I don't know what we were talking about. And he turned to me, and we were buddies. He turned to me and said, "You are painfully honest." I thought, "Well, is that a bad thing?" says, "I can't remember what I said yesterday, so I better say what is right because I'll never remember if it isn't."
There you go. There's a lot of that, that once you get hung out to dry, you hang yourself out to dry with not telling the truth, man. You can't get it back.
No, you're done. If you lose your credibility, you don't have anything.
Yeah. So what's ahead for you? You're done the end of the year, December 31st, as I understand, correct? What are you going to do with yourself?
I'm not too sure. My wife said, "I don't know what you're going to do, but you're not going to follow me around the house and say, 'What's next? What's next?'" I think initially I just want to relax. Matt Schaefer sent me a nice note not too long ago and said, "You won't realize how much stress you've dealt with until you don't have it." And it's a huge break. So they just want to relax a little bit. But my wife and I like to go to national parks. We were just in Shenandoah a couple of weeks ago, hiking around and seeing the sights. And so we'd like to go see a lot of the national parks and stuff. So springtime and fall time when they aren't packed and crowded, that's something we'd like to do. Got a granddaughter that's a year and a half old and spend time with her. And then try to make up some of the time with my kids and spend more time with them.
Are they local to you?
Yeah, they are. I've got three children. Stephanie's married to Jim. They have a little daughter, Fiona. She's great. She calls me Baba because she can't say grandpa. My second daughter's married to Mike. She's a nurse at the Cleveland Clinic. And then my son, Brian, he's the youngest. He's not married. But the furthest one away is about 25 to 30 minutes, so it's pretty nice.
That's a pretty good deal. Enjoy that while you can,
Yeah.
because the one thing I've found, my girls are 42 and 38 now, I guess. And that generation is so mobile today, particularly regarding jobs and stuff, that you're
Yeah.
very fortunate if they settle down, you know.
Well, the other thing, I owe my wife a lot. I think it takes a special person to be a spouse of a superintendent
No
to
doubt.
understand why are you going back to the golf course at 1 o'clock in the morning? Why aren't you here this weekend? We're going to the wedding, aren't you coming? All those things. And my wife, not only has she been my sounding board, my partner for all these years, she's also been She does my secretarial work. She helps me with the bills. She helps me. I'll write a letter and she says, "You can't say that." And she corrects my grammar and my that type of thing. So she and I just need to spend some more time together.
How long you been married?
42 years.
I got you beat by five.
I'm
I'm almost 5 years older than you are, so
gaining on you, though.
yes. Yeah, I'll concur that there's nothing better when when your spouse is your best friend. There's nothing better. All
We
right,
look forward
let's.
to spending some time together, that's for sure.
Yes. Okay, let's slam the lid on this. David, congratulations on an awesome career. Thank you for your many years of TurfNet membership. And thank your wife for writing all those checks too, over those years. But we've
Turf, by the way, TurfNet's a pretty special thing. I remember when you were starting that out and you came to Lake Forest to and you were talking about it. Was above my head, and it's like, what the heck is he talking about?
I ran into a lot of that in the early
Yeah,
years.
I've been on TurfNet for a long time, and I put equipment on there. I sure don't get on there like I used to, but it's been a blessing in a lot of things to a lot of people. So you should be proud of what you created there and maintained.
I am. And a couple of things that you mentioned that really resonate with me when I think back, 30 years ago to when I started. One was when you mentioned working at a mom and pop. I started with me, and if I didn't know how to do something, I had to learn how to do it or it didn't get done. And if there weren't enough hours in the day, then you work, past midnight into the next day. And the other thing was the bit about the when you work at a mom and pop with a restricted budget, you learn how to stretch dollars and all that kind of stuff. And due to the fact that I had to learn, or I had to do things myself, I didn't have the money to hire people to do things. And so I learned HTML coding and built websites, and I bought my first computer the year before I started TurfNet. First one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was nuts. And I bought it because I knew that if I knew the water was swirling in the bowl so far as my other job went. I knew if I had to go back into the job market without PC skills, I was pretty well screwed. So, but then I bought
Amazing. It's amazing what we rely on now that we didn't have back then.
That's crazy. But again, good luck. Thank you. Keep in touch. When you're going to Acadia National Park, I'm only in the summer, I'm only 2 hours north of there.
Nice.
So keep me in mind.
I keep that in mind. Have a beer or something.
I don't drink anymore, but I'll watch you drink one.
I don't drink much, so we can split a water.
There you go. Have a good cup of coffee. All right, David, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it and appreciate your friendship over all these years. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Take care.